Well, we've received such a positive and an amazing word from God for this year. And that God's really just spoken to us and wants to continue to speak to us about this being the year of God's favor. And if you can imagine favor and the best kind of case scenario, I think you need to multiply it a few hundred times, because that's God. God is able to do far more than we could ask or imagine when it comes to his favor. To say that to a person next to you, God's able to do far more than you could ask or imagine with his favor on your life this year. Isn't that great? It's time. And tell them it's time for God to show you favor. Time. Now is the time. We started the meeting with good news, and that is good news, isn't it? Favor means, really, if somebody favors you, it actually means they show you some advantages, special privileges. They support you. They help you to come into things that you couldn't get yourself into. They do you a favor and lend you their car, or they do you a favor and get you into contact with a person that actually will mean an open door, a promotion. Favor. Favor is just positive. Everything about God's favor is positive. And we've just celebrated communion in a very powerful way, looking at Isaiah 53. And I want to say that the reason, and the only reason, why God can show us favor is because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And so it's because of him that we receive favor. And as we receive Jesus by faith, and through faith, by grace through faith, the favor of God comes upon your life. Because God is favorable towards you. He picked you out for favor. And we are living by grace, which is another word for favor. And as we believe in his favor, believe in everything he's saying to us through his word about favor, we're going to see the power of God at work. And I want to also mention that this favor is not going to stop at you. It's going to flow through you to those who don't know Jesus yet. Like Abraham, we will be distributing good to others. You will say, I'm a distributor of good to many. As God blesses me, I will bless many. Because that's the whole heart of God for humanity, is to bring his favor through Jesus Christ into the whole world. Now, if you're anything like me, and I trust you have the same desire as me, I want to grow my faith. Because faith can be grown. Because if you grow your faith, then you will grow the amount of activity of God in your life. And faith is actually easy to acquire, because it comes directly from God's word and God speaking his word into your heart. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word. And so I was talking to somebody this week, and it really hit me when sometimes when I get talking to people, I get blessed. And I said, if you took all the word of God, all the promises out of my life, out of my heart, I would have no faith. Because I can only have faith because I've got the word in me. And the more word I get in me, the more of the promises live and are alive in my heart, the more faith grows and the more demonstration of power happens. And it's all by grace, because then it's by faith. Because if all we've got to do is believe it, that means that believing is a priority in every Christian's life. Believing the word of God, faith in God's word, which then will release a dimension of favor over you, over your family, over us as a body, as a church, but also over this region. I believe it's time for favor with the lost. I believe that it's going to flow from us to many. And so this is an important message, and I believe that God wants us, as we hear his word today, to even grow this morning in our faith. So if you're prepared to open your Bible, I think I might have it on the screen, but we're going to look at Psalm 5. And actually, David sang this psalm this morning in the worship prophetically. When he started to sing this, I thought, we're on the money. Or we could say, sorry, we're in the Spirit. Kind of, it's just like, you know, when there's a flow of the Spirit says the same things. It's not a coincidence, it's a God instance. It's something that God did through his prophetic singing this morning. So Psalm 5, verse 12 says, for surely you will bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. Can we say that together? For surely you will bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. Now, to be righteous in God's eyes is simply because we've accepted and received Jesus as our Savior and Lord. We've been born again. We're new people. And now our identity is Christ in us. And because he is righteous, he has become our righteousness. So if you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ this morning, you are called righteous because of your faith. Say, I am righteous by faith. Faith in Jesus, of course. Not in ourselves, but in Jesus. And so this promise, you will bless. Surely, I love that word right at the beginning, surely, because it's a certainty. And God's wanting to actually give you a double whammy with that. He's wanting to say, not I will bless, for surely I will bless. For definitely I will bless the righteous. That's us. And it says, you surround them with your favor as with a shield. Now, favor, all these special privileges, the advantages, the protection of God, the blessing of God, the ability to succeed, to do stuff we couldn't do ourselves. God says, I surround you with that favor as with a shield. Now, I'm sure any child would understand what a shield is, especially if they're a boy, because they like to play with shields. Maybe girls do too. But, you know, a little shield is for when you're fighting and you can get behind. Or even if you start throwing something like snowballs at me, I'll get behind something and that'll be my shield. And so God says favor, because of Jesus, is actually like a shield all the way around your life. And no matter what snowballs come at you, it won't get to you. So a shield is a protection against stuff coming into your life. You are in Christ, therefore you are protected from some of the stuff that happened to people who aren't Christians. There's a favor on your life because you are in Christ and Christ is in you. And he is a shield. Say, God is my shield. It's the best shield anybody walking on the earth could ever have. And you have him as your shield. And if God's your shield, ain't nobody going to be able to get in. You know, some people employ security forces to protect their buildings. And some nations, even when you go across their borders, they have people with guns. Well, all God has to be is who he is as favor around us. And I mean, ain't nobody. He's the best security force there is on the earth. Anywhere in the whole universe. And so this is a promise for each of us to believe. Ephesians 6, Paul actually sees this spiritual picture of who you and I are now in Christ. Because we're new people, we have to think differently about ourselves. You can't think of yourself as little old you, with not many advantages, with not much ability. You have to think of yourself now. You have to change your thinking to in Christ. Those two wonderful words. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And Paul was speaking, and I believe the word of God is speaking to us this morning through Ephesians. If you turn to Ephesians 6, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. And we see here that there are a lot of battles around a believer's life, a Christian's life. There are there's a lot of warfare that goes on around a church. A believing family, a married couple that is choosing to follow Jesus, there is a battle. And our battle isn't against people. It's against the devil and all his powers, demons and principalities and powers. And so the devil is out to try and penetrate that impenetrable armor, which is Christ. Okay, so he's trying to try and attack. And this is why Paul says he sees this picture of Christians having an armor on, but it's not our own kind of protection, that it's the armor of God. So it's God's armor. You're wearing God's armor. If you're in Christ, you're wearing Christ. And you're wearing God's armor. Isn't that awesome? I just love to think of me standing up here. Ain't nobody, if God before me, who can be against me? Hello. That makes me happy. Truth makes you happy. It makes you happy to think God's your armor. He's your defense. And verse 10, it says, finally, church, come on. Everybody here this morning, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. So Paul's saying, get a picture of how awesome and powerful God is. But be strong in him, because you are in him. Find your strength out of that truth that you're in Christ. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that you, when the day of evil comes, may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield. That's an important word, shield, again. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. I'm going to say that again. You can, say I can, extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one with a shield of faith. He might be shooting, but he won't get you if your shield of faith's up. Because it'll put out the power of what the devil's trying to do. It'll cancel like an extinguished candle when dipped in water. Shoo. Shoo. Because you have your shield of faith. And the scripture, Paul says, take it up. Pick up your faith, church. Lift up your shield of faith. Don't be apathetic. Don't do nothing. Pick up your faith. I'm going to show you how to do that in a minute. Taking up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We fight with the Word of God. We don't fight with fists. We don't fight with our own language or anger. Nothing human. We fight with the Word of God. The Word is the sword of God. The sword of God. So take it up. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the saints. Amen. Always keep praying for all the saints. It's important. Your prayer life is important. But we see this picture with this concept, which Old Testament, we've just read the promise. You surround the righteous with favor as a shield. The New Testament we see, because we are in Christ, we have this armor, this protection of God. And we are to consciously say and put on his armor and say, truth. Jesus is the truth. The word of God is truth. And I'm going to tie up my whole life with truth. I'm going to use like a belt. Everything that pulls my life together is truth. The breastplate of righteousness that actually protects your heart, because you're not condemned because of your sin, because Christ is your righteousness. So you can be confident because you've got a breastplate in place that protects you from attack. You put on the helmet of salvation, which speaks of your mind actually protected as you put on the mind of Christ, as you renew your mind and say, I'm going to take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Come on, church. Put it on. Put on the mind of Christ. It means you've got to be actively saying, I'm going to renew my mind today. Yes. You've got to keep saying, I'm going to do something about these negative thoughts and put in God's good thoughts. And as we have our feet fitted with the gospel of peace, the shoes of the gospel of peace, we have peace with God and we can walk in peace. The good news that we bring is, no matter what you do to me, I can have peace with you because I forgive you. And of course, the gospel, we're people who are using our feet to reach people who haven't yet got peace with God. We're fitted, ready to go out with the gospel. And then there's this shield of faith. Now, this morning when I was praying, and hello, we've got a visual aid. Somebody said to me this morning, are we doing face painting? I said, no. Now, this morning, I have here a can of chopped tomatoes. Okay, now, doesn't matter where they're from, they're a can of chopped tomatoes. If somebody's listening on the podcast, I'm just showing a can of tomatoes. And basically, the Lord said he will surround you with favor as with a shield. Now, if you're the tomatoes and he's the can, please, I'm not diminishing him or you, but just using this as an illustration. The tin itself protects and preserves everything that is in it for good. And so you are in Christ. In fact, the scripture says you are hidden in Christ, in God. So you can't see a tomato in there, but it's in there. And so he is like a shield. This is a protection. This can protects whatever's in there. Because if I opened the can and left it for a week or two, bacteria, unseen things like microbes, and I used to study microbiology, used to be in that kind of field, would creep their little way in and destroy and poison whatever is in the can. And so this is really, in Christ, you're protected from unseen evil spirits. If you're in Christ, the devil can't come in unless we allow him. We can allow him. And God gives us free will to open our can through sin and compromise. But we can close it through confession, repentance and confession of sin. But I recommend you keep your can closed to the enemy and keep yourself set apart for God so that he can do amazing things in your life. Now, I have some fridge magnets, okay? But the shield that God's got around us, these are little magnets with hearts. And favor on your life actually attracts, like a magnet, the favor of God. So the Lord's saying, this is a year of favor. By the end of this year, this whole can is going to be filled with hearts because of Jesus. Okay, so he is a shield. But what's important is that we learn to use our faith in what God says and lift up that shield. Because you and I can live as though we haven't got a shield. We can go back to living naturally. We can think of ourselves without Jesus and not being in a place which is the truth, that we're in Christ, but we think of ourselves without. We start to doubt him. Well, nobody really knows how bad my life is. I've never seen the favor of God. I know they keep saying we're going to see God's favor, but it's definitely not for me. He seems to miss me out. Everything in my life is wrong. Can't you tell how bad life is? And we can start to actually speak and doubt and not believe, because the key is faith, and not believe that now is the time for God's favor because of our circumstances. But you choose. Will you believe God or will you believe your circumstances? Will you believe what he says or will you believe your feelings? And if we don't believe God, you and I, and this is another analogy which isn't brilliant, but I'm going to use it anyway. We can be like an unprotected tomato. I have a tomato in my hand. And when we're walking in doubt, speaking words, because death and life is in the power of the tongue, you can actually unshield your life through your words and open your life to all natural kind of problems. This tomato, in due time, would actually go off. Because all the way around the tomato, you can't see it, but it's going to kind of diminish. It's not protected, and it won't be preserved. And so faith in the favor of God is vital for you to live in the protection of God and in the blessing of God, like those magnets attracting the favor of God to you because of his love for you. And so unbelief and doubt and speaking negative will actually not bless you. It definitely won't bless your marriage, your kids, your finances, your work, your business, because we need to be saying what God says, that you surround me, you will bless the righteous, and you will surround me with favor as with a shield. And the Bible teaches us there's something you and I must learn and keep learning, is that we believe what God says and we speak it. Because we can speak life, we can speak favor into our days. If we believe what God says, believe in your heart and speak, you can move mountains of issues around your life, preventing favor from happening. Because you are saying, God will surround me with favor as with a shield. I am actually a blessing attractor because of God's favor in Christ Jesus. This is really important. So take up your shield of faith that the enemy can't penetrate. Now, turn to Numbers, because we're going to see how favor plays out in the life of God's people, the Israelites. And I was reading this on Friday morning, actually, I think it was. Israel. God chose Abraham. We heard this last week. Very important that you're listening progressively to these words on favor. God chose Abraham. He became a nation. God said, my promises, I will bless you with abundant increase of favors. And I will make you a blessing, a distributor of good to many. So that's his call. It's also our call in Christ Jesus. We have the same promise, same word as Abraham. And God's people then are actually, in God's mind, the Israelites, or Israel, are blessed by God. Chosen by God. And in this story here, in the history of Israel, verse 1, it says, the Israelites traveled to the plains of Moab and camped along the Jordan across from Jericho. Now, God's intention was the Israelites, by faith, went into every good thing. Chapter 22. So the Israelites are coming in, according to God's plan, into the promised land, into every good thing that God's prepared for them. Now the enemy is also present. That's really important to know. And this enemy, the leader of the enemy, was called Balak. We're talking about people here, but in our mind, we must always think the enemy is a spiritual force of evil. Okay, so it's not people. And so the enemy actually got terrified at Israel And if you go down to verse 5, the second part of that, Balak said, "There are a people that have come out from Egypt, and they cover the face of the land, and they've settled next to me. Now come and put a curse on these people. Come and put a curse on these people, because they're too powerful for me. Perhaps then I'll be able to defeat them and drive them out of the country, for I know that those you bless are blessed, and those you curse are cursed." Now Balak said this to a man called Balaam. Okay, now these are unusual names, Balaam and Balak. So Balaam, or Balaam, I don't know how to pronounce it, and it doesn't really matter, you can say whatever you want in your head. He was actually, his job was to pronounce blessing and curse on people. And Balak decided, our armies won't be able to defeat God's people, so we need to enlist spiritual forces. Because a curse releases demonic forces to help them beat Israel. Because there's spiritual powers behind everything. And so let's employ Balaam to curse Israel. Now, do you remember in Genesis 3, God says, "I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you." So the enemy wants to employ people to curse God's people. Or shall I say, he wants to employ people to curse you. Because he wants to unleash spiritual forces against you. So Balaam, he actually heard God that night. And verse 9, it says, God came to Balaam and asked, "Who are these men with you?" Of course, God already knew, but he wanted to open up a little bit of conversation. And Balaam said to God, "Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab, sent me this message. A people that has come out of Egypt covers the face of the land. Now come and put a curse on them for me. Perhaps I will be able to fight them and drive them away." But God said to Balaam, "Do not go with them. You must not put a curse on those people because they're blessed." Don't go. You mustn't curse them. They're blessed. Love that. So simple. Sometimes the most profound things God says is in one sentence. And so he said, "I'm not coming." And so the enemy tried again. In verse 16, "Let's try and get him to come for money." So they said to Balaam, "This is what Balak, son of Zippor, says. Do not let anything keep you from coming, because I will reward you handsomely and do whatever you say. Come and put a curse on these people for me." And so Balaam was actually enticed by money. "I'll pay you a fortune if you will curse Israel. I will actually give you position and prestige if you will curse God's people." And so because of the temptation for cash and prestige, which is still around today, I never like anybody who pays for prayer or prophecy because it's ungodly. Because of that temptation, Balaam said, he said the right answer. He said, "I mustn't go with you. Even if you were to give me all the silver and gold in your house, I mustn't come." And then he said, in his heart, he said, "I really want that money." So he said, "Just stay the night and I'll see if we can change God's mind." And don't say you haven't done the same. So not perhaps in that area, but let's see if we can change God's mind. And so God said, because he actually gives permission, and he actually permitted Balaam to go and curse these people. Well, not, he wasn't going to permit them to curse them. So he said, "Right, let's go." And in verse 28 of chapter 22, this is Balaam going because he wants gain in his life. And God actually decided to oppose him. Balaam was riding on his donkey, and the Lord actually stood in the way with a sword drawn in his hand. So like, I'm like, if you ever see the Lord with a sword drawn, repent of whatever you can and lie down, is my suggestion. Just say, "I'm sorry for everything, let's get down." Okay? Because this is a time of, this is judgment, because he's coming against God's people. Yeah. And verse 28, God actually makes the donkey speak. Isn't it interesting this was there before Shrek? Isn't that amazing? I think they got it from here. And basically, verse 26, the angel of the Lord moved on ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no room to turn, either right or left. And the donkey saw the angel, and she lay down. But Balaam didn't see the Lord. And actually, three times he beat his donkey because he couldn't see what God was doing. But the donkey could see. Sometimes you and I are so dumb that we can't see because we're so full of our own way. We're going to do this. And so the donkey, the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, verse 28. And she said to Balaam, what have I done to you to make you beat me these three times? Balaam answered the donkey. So there's a conversation now with the donkey is going on. You've made a fool of me. If I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now. The donkey said to Balaam, am I not your own donkey, which you've always ridden to this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this? In other words, wakey, wakey, I'm not like this ordinarily, but God's moving. And he's moving against you because you are coming against God's people. And then God opened Balaam's eyes. In verse 31, the Lord opened his eyes and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn, and he bowed low and fell face down. He said, basically, all I can do is crash on my face. And God said to him, why have you beaten your donkey three times? God does not like people punishing animals. I love that. He's kind, even to animals. Isn't that amazing? Because that's his nature. He's kind. So he says, you know, you've beaten your donkey three times. I've come here to oppose you because your path is a reckless one before me. There is a scripture. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble, isn't there? And this guy is going against God's will to curse Israel. And after this encounter, Balaam said in verse 34, I have sinned. I didn't realize you were standing in the road to oppose me. So in other words, I've come to my senses. I am actually wrong. He acknowledged his sin. And when anybody does that, God forgives. So if anybody's been opposing God's people and they say, I've sinned, he forgives. Isn't he good? I have sinned, and I realize, basically, I can only do what you ask me to do. But the Lord actually says, go with these guys now. The Lord actually says, now you're in a fit state to not be tempted by money, because you know that it's more terrible to fall in the hands of the living God than to financially gain in life. Because one day we will all give an account to God, won't we? So Balaam goes and they build this sacrifice scene to come. And basically, in verse, where am I going? Let me just look. Verse 5 to 8 of chapter 23. Let's read this. So Balaam's ready to speak for the Lord. And Balak had said, I want you to curse Israel. So Balak brought me from Aram to the king of Moab from the eastern mountains. And he said to me, curse Jacob for me. Come, denounce Israel. And verse 8, how can I curse those whom God has not cursed? How can I denounce those whom the Lord has not denounced? So Balak's hearing that even though he wants this curse and damage to come on Israel through words, because words are releasing demonic powers against Israel, Balak isn't able to because he said, I can't curse what God has blessed. So Balak gets a little bit annoyed and says, we need another go. Let's try and get you to curse them. Let's have another go. And so he does it again. And in verse 18 of chapter 23, let's look at this, chapter 23. Here we go. So he uttered again in verse 18, "Arise, Balak, listen, hear me, son of Zippor." These are these words. Listen to this. "God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? I have received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I can't change it. I have received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I can't change it." God is not lying when he says it's time for favor. God speaks and he acts. God fulfills his promise. He cannot lie. He can't change. God has said, "I will bless Israel." And he will always bless Israel. He has said of you and I, the body of Christ, you are blessed. And he will always bless his people. And God will show blessing to you. You can't be cursed because you're blessed. In Christ, you cannot be cursed. A curse cannot settle on the righteous. Say what you like, it ain't settling. It's because he is my shield, my fortress. He surrounds me with a favor as with a shield. Oh, anyway, chapter 24, verse 9, they had another go. Let's see if we can curse him again, because this guy knows, naturally speaking, you can't beat the people of God. You need the principalities and powers to be onto it. And those powers are released through words, just as God's power is released through your words. Hello? God's power is released through your speaking what God says. Angels, the Holy Spirit is released when you say what God says. So they said, let's have another go. Because in other words, unless demons get behind this, I don't stand a chance. Well, demons don't stand a chance with God. Jesus has already defeated and triumphed over every principality and power through the cross. He has defeated and overcome every enemy of ours. And in Christ, we are victorious. I think we ought to sing that at the end, victorious. Because that's who we are in Christ. It's not fair, but we are. We didn't earn it. We didn't work for it. God gave it because of Jesus. So chapter 24, verse 9. Like a lion, they crouch down. In other words, he's seeing Israel as God sees them. Basically, they're a winning people. Because God is for them. And in verse 9, the end of that verse, it says, "May those who bless you be blessed. May those who curse you be cursed." In other words, there is a comeback for those who curse God's people. And that comeback is from God. Hello? We don't have to fight. The Lord fights. Praise his wonderful name. I went out for a lovely meal with a good friend of mine. And he, very interesting man. I love him dearly. He's married, so don't get any ideas. Just in case. And his wife was there. Yeah, important. Thank you, Pastor Andrea. All in the light. It's okay. And he was talking about he'd met an Iraqi and he'd met somebody else. And somebody else he'd met had all come to the same conclusion about terrorist attacks, saying that people are believing that the Jews were behind all the acts of terror in 9/11, that actually it wasn't who we thought it was. And so I'm listening to this thinking, actually that morning I'd read this, Numbers 22. So I'm like, and I want him blessed, so I don't want him to go down that road. So I'm listening, and I said, well, my opinion is this, because I believe it's the Bible, and I can only have an opinion if it's God's word. But I said, every individual is responsible for their own sin before God. If it was a Jew or not, they will be accountable before God. Whoever. And if they repent and receive Jesus, they'll be forgiven. That's the gospel of God's grace, unearned favor and blessing. So I don't know who did it, and I don't think your friends do. But I do know that we've received a command to bless and not curse Israel. Because Israel are God's chosen people. And there is an anti-Semitic spirit that runs through the European culture, the world culture. The devil is behind it, because whoever God loves and calls special, Satan hates. And he wants to destroy. And he uses curses through media, through individuals who curse God's people. And so I said, we have received, as God's church, a command to bless Israel. Do you receive that, church? You're going to obey the Lord, because in blessing her, you will be blessed. We want to have a blessed year, don't we? And at the end of this meeting, we're going to speak blessing, as God told his people how to bless his people by saying, the Lord bless you. Because if you say a blessing, God does it. Amen? Speaking is the power of releasing, which is why the shield of faith in your life, to actually see the favor of God this year, you need to be speaking it's a year of favor. Not just thinking it, but confessing it. Every day when you go to work, his favor surrounds me like a shield. The Lord will bless the righteous. That's me today. Because speak it. Actually, we are in the confession of faith. That's what Christianity is, the confession of faith. We say what God says. So, Israel, and I wanted to just put it out there. Israel really are not perfect in their history. They were not perfect. They messed up probably nearly as much as you and I have. And it doesn't mean that they're perfect. They're just chosen. And it doesn't mean we're perfect. We're just chosen. That's why it's all favor and grace. Because the grace of God has been poured out on our lives through Jesus Christ. And you are in grace because of your personal faith in Jesus. And so when people criticize Israel, you won't. You can answer with wisdom and say, well, they don't do everything right like we don't. But they're favored. They're blessed because God has chosen to bless them. They are his own special people. And 1 Peter chapter 9 says, we are a holy nation, the church. Collectively, we are the body of Christ. We're a holy nation, a royal priesthood, his own special people. And so God says, you're a special people. Say, we're a special people. That's not pride, that's truth. To say I am blessed isn't pride, it's truth. I'm blessed with every blessing in Christ. Go on, say it. And as we lift up our shield of faith, more and more favor is going to come, and less the enemy is doing will be able to reach anywhere near you, because you'll have your shield up. It's the confession of our faith that God has spoken. It's time for favor. The set time has come. I haven't plucked this out of some kind of pie in the sky. It's in Psalm 102. It's the word of God. And the Bible says that all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus, they're all mine. Every blessing is mine. I don't lack anything in Christ. And as I believe it and speak it, I will see the favor of God on my life. Why is it important that you work with God in blessing the church? Just think about that. Why? Because, you see, the enemy wants to employ people, even Christians, to speak against the church, to speak against leaders. He wants to employ Christians to speak against you. Not just me, although I'm in primary target position. But the enemy wants people to curse and slander and be negative. But we need to be aware that if God has blessed, I will bless. Negativity needs to stop before it gets out of your mouth. In fact, what needed with negativity is a change of heart, a forgiving and repentant heart that will only speak well of those who God says are my special people. Your words are important to your future. They're important to this year of favor. And they're important to us for the sake of the lost. I want you to understand that favor is a move of God. And that God wants to release a new move of favor amongst us personally. That you will be receiving unusual blessings. But he wants to release that amongst us so that the world will actually come into the kingdom and see how good God is. And negative speaking and speaking against leaders, whether they're here or somewhere else, or ministries or churches, we're not doing it. Should we make a decision? We're not doing it. I will bless every one of you in this room. God has commanded me to, that I may inherit a blessing. Because it will come right back at you, one way or another. And so, this whole year that God's saying, it's a year of favor. I will surround you with favor as with a shield. It is your responsibility to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and to declare it, speak it, and make that confession of blessing over your life, over your job, over your finances, over your relationships, over the body of Christ, over your faith group, over the ministry in which you serve, over the projects in which we are reaching people through. It's a year of favor, and God is going to show favor this year in unusual ways. And what God has blessed, I will bless in the name of Jesus. Let's stand. Praise God.